Our next public hearing is subdivision 2013-3, Rocks Bethany LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in a MR medium density residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 2.33 acres into five lots, also requesting a waiver from the forested buffer requirement and being located on the east side of Delaware Route 1, north of Gum Road, a private road within Sussex Shore subdivision, and being more specifically identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID 1-34, map 13, parcels 142 and 143. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments based on the technical advisory committee review of this project.
Mr. Chairman, we forward this application to the technical advisory committee. We requested written comments by May 16th of this year. We received numerous comments. They have been a part of the record. We provided the commission members with copies of those comments. On June the 3rd of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. It contains the subdivision considerations of section 99-9C, the plus review comments and the applicant's response. And the third item was a rare and threatened and endangered species correspondence. And I provided each of you with a copy of this preliminary site plan. That's all the information we received to date.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we get started, if there's anyone here that has an interest in this application, it appears that the applicant is going to have some exhibits that may be difficult to see from where you're sitting. So I will invite you to leave your seats, come up, take a look, and you do so at your leisure. I just ask that you not have a discussion while you're up there, because we will be taking testimony. But you please feel free to get up and take a closer look at the exhibits anytime that you wish to during the proceeding. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm the attorney representing the applicants, which is Rocks Bethany LLC and James Baker. With me is Jeff Clark of LandTech, and seated behind me is Nicholas Rock, who is one of the applicants. And Mr. Chairman, just you mentioned the exhibits. The two exhibits here are the same two exhibits that we have to the rear there, so these aren't different than what are behind.
Okay.
There.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
There was a design summary exhibit book that was submitted that I believe you gentlemen have a copy of. As was stated, this is an application for a five-lot single-family subdivision. It's located on the east side of Route 1, just north of Bethany Beach. The site borders Route 1 on the west and is located approximately across from the Bethany Beach maintenance yard. Each of the applicants currently owns a 600-foot-long lot, which runs from Route 1 to the beach, adjacent to one another. And each of those two lots are improved with single-family homes on the beach end. To the north of the site is another long lot, which is improved with a home. And to the south of the site is the Sussex Shore subdivision. And our land actually borders Gum Road, which is a subdivision road in Sussex Shores. So Gum Road is right here. Obviously, to the east are the beach and the Atlantic Ocean. This application proposes to create five single-family lots out of the combined two lots. The total acreage is 2.33 acres. Each of the existing homes would remain on two of the proposed lots, with three new lots being created to the west, and they would front on the new access road. So these would be lots 1, 2, and 3 would be the three new lots created. Lots 4 and 5 would be the remainder of the existing lots. In summary, our proposal was to make two lots into five lots. The land is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which is a growth area under the comprehensive plan. The land is currently zoned MR, medium density residential. The purpose of the MR district is to provide for medium density residential development, and detached single family dwellings are a permitted use in the MR district. In that district, the minimum lot area is 10,000 square feet. The minimum lot width is 75 feet. The minimum lot depth is 100 feet. And all of those lots will comply with those requirements. The proposed subdivision is in conformity with the nature of the area on the ocean side of Route 1. I know you're familiar with that area, but it is predominantly single-family residential subdivisions from Bethany Beach up to the state lands at Indian River, with just a few exceptions. The parcels are currently served by Sussex County Sewer and Public Water, and the subdivision obviously will also be. The county engineer's comments indicate that the subdivision is in the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and that the proposed five lots are within the sewer system design assumptions and capacity can be assumed. Public water will be provided by the Sussex Shores Water Company. Fire and emergency services are provided by the Bethany Beach Volunteer Fire Department, and the site is in the Indian River School District. Entrance improvements from Route 1 will be designed and constructed in accordance with DLDOT requirements, and due to the small size of the subdivision, there really will be no negative traffic impact. The one access street being created will be a private street. The proposed subdivision will have restrictive covenants and architectural standards similar to other developments in the area. Each lot owner will be a member of the HOA. The HOA, of course, will enforce the restrictions, will maintain the road, the buffers, the stormwater management areas, and other common areas. There is a 10-foot beach access provided for beach access for lots 1, 2, and 3 along the north boundary right here. Lots 4 and 5 actually have beach access from the lots themselves. Obviously, the beach is the main recreational attraction to the development, as well as additional open space. The site plan, as submitted, shows a 20-foot landscape buffer along Route 1 and Lot 1, and also along the north boundary of Lot 1, 2, and 3. So this plan is showing a 20-foot buffer along Route 1 here, and also along Lots 1, 2, and 3. We are requesting a waiver of the buffer for the two beachfront lots. This is where there's two existing homes that have already exist and are currently located. And again, that would be lots 4 and 5. So they are the remainder of the two original lots, which, as I said, currently exist. It was our original intent to seek a waiver of the buffer along the southern boundary, which is where our entrance road actually borders on Gum Road, which is the interior road in Sussex Shores. The reasoning being that to put a buffer from a road wasn't really what the intent of the ordinance was. Earlier this week, I drove through Sussex Shores to observe the site from Gum Road, and there is significant existing natural growth on our site that runs along Gum Road. And it seemed to me that it would be desirable to try to keep a portion of that existing natural buffer, knowing that we often try to create buffers and then landscape the buffers. And here there was this actual existing, quite frankly, it's almost jungle-like in terms of the growth there. On Wednesday, Rob Witzel contacted Jeff Clark on behalf of the Sussex Shores HOA. And then I also spoke to Mr. Witzel. And we both agreed that keeping a portion of that natural buffer would seem to be appropriate. As a result of that, we proposed that the plan that you see here would be revised to provide a permanent 10-foot natural buffer along Gum Road from Route 1 to Lot 5, and to reduce the proposed northern buffer to a 10-foot natural buffer along lots 1, 2, and 3. Now, let me say that again. Along Gump Road here, which would be adjacent to the 50-foot right-of-way created for the new subdivision, to create a 10-foot buffer here. And on the north end, this is showing a 20 on here to reduce that to 10-foot buffer. The 20-foot buffer would remain in the front. The land to the north here, Seabreak subdivision is located on the other side of that. This lot is approximately 75 feet wide and is really not capable of being subdivided because of its width. So all this area here is also in natural state. So in effect, this buffer would just be an extension of the existing growth there. And then the new buffer created here would create a natural screen between Gum Road and the homes located on Gum Road and the lots being created here. In addition, Duke's Dune Road would be a 50-foot right-of-way, and as you know, the actual paved portion of that road would only be approximately 20 feet. So we have a 50-foot right-of-way with about 20 feet of pavement. The paved portion would be obviously adjacent to these lots here, so we're going to have somewhere between 25 to 30 feet of this right-of-way that would also be available potentially as additional buffer. We certainly have no problem with keeping that in a natural state as additional buffer if the Planning Commission would deem that appropriate. As you know, the waivers or modifications are authorized by Section 99-33 of the Subdivision Ordinance for unusual conditions. And again, this is a very small subdivision, and for the reasons I stated, we believe that the modification would be appropriate. Mr. Witzel also mentioned that there is a, at the current time, there's a gate located along here. There's a fence along here, and there's a gate that these two lots use to access the interior road here. Apparently, that's been used since the 1960s. We're not proposing to limit that. In other words, these two lots would continue to have the right to use that, but the access of that gate would not be permitted by lots 1, 2, and 3. So the use of that gate would be as it currently is, but would not be increased. As to possible environmental impacts, there'll be no impact on the dunes or the beach area since, again, the two existing homes already exist as dune front homes. And as you are aware, the DENREC has the dune line building restrictions that protect the dunes. There is a small area of federal wetlands that are located in part of the buffer and on a portion of Lot 1. As provided in the subdivision ordinance, and that's in Section 99-6H, the provision indicates that a deed where wetlands are located, a deed to a lot where wetlands are located, must contain certain disclosures. And that disclosure is that this site contains regulated wetlands. Activities within the wetlands may require a permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and or the state of Delaware. And Jeff will explain that in a little more detail in a minute, but that would be a condition that deed would contain the required disclosure. During our PLUS review, DENREC indicated that the site had a potential of having what's called they're referred to both ways, inter or inner dunal swales. And these are something that can occur in areas of low elevation between dunes. And that type of an environment or habitat supports a rare insect that I had never heard of before, but a rare insect known as the Bethany Beach firefly.
Did you bring one?
No, I'm not sure if I've ever seen one, but apparently this is a recognized species. DENREC requested that a site visit be done, which the applicants agreed to, and a site visit did occur on April 23rd. No inter or interdunal swales were observed, and DENREC records indicate that no rare plants were located, and DENREC also confirmed that the site is not within a state natural heritage area, and that's in our exhibit book. It's the DENREC letter of May 30th, 2013. And in addition, Deneric contacted Dr. Christopher Heckscher, who is a professor at Dell State, who I assume is an expert in the Bethany Beach firefly. His letter of May 15th also confirms that there are no interdunal swales, that they were not present on the site, and that the proposed development of the site will not affect the firefly's habitat. So the question that was raised, I think, has been properly addressed by the by Deneric as well as Dr. Heckscher. Our exhibit book contains the applicant's response to the plus comments. I know this is only an application creating three additional lots, but because it's in the environmentally sensitive development area, it is required to go to plus. So we did go through the plus process. And also in our exhibit book are the applicant's comments addressing the 17 considerations that are listed in section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, which, unless you want us to, we're not going to recite. I'll refer to them for your review.
But whatever is contained in your booklet is already on the record, so I don't know that it would be necessary for you to run through the whole litany.
Okay, and with that, I'll turn this over to Jeff just to review the site plan with you.
For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a landscape architect with the firm of Land Tech, Land Planning in Ocean View, Delaware. And Jim touched on all of the basic points in the plan. I just want to make a couple of additions to his comments. And let me start with the piece of wetlands he was talking about. There is an isolated patch of wetlands that's been delineated on the site. It is 1,900 square feet. And we have been told with our environmental consultant who has visited with the Corps of Engineers and been told that it would certainly would be entitled to apply for the nationwide permit for filling up to a tenth of an acre. We've not made any effort to go in that direction because typically in a situation like this, the only fill you would experience on lots in this setting would be where the homes are on pilings, would be actually be the footprint of the piling itself. And so until the lot is constructed, we don't know if the home would even get into that area. And if it did, that applicant or that homeowner then would have to go through that application with the Corps. And there certainly is no need to fill the entire thing. You would have an impact permit for just the footprint of the pilings, if you will. The only other comment I want to make is, and again, this is in the booklet, but the Duke's Dune Road then, if you can look at the photograph, you can see how it is a little bit offset from the existing crossover in Route 1. And then DLDOT's comments, they have made a point that we would have to make some adjustments out there, but you know, to line those up with the entrance to the subdivision. But aside from that, gentlemen, I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have on the site plan.
Well, let me finish up, and then you can ask any questions you have, if that's okay.
Sure.
I am submitting some proposed findings and conditions for your consideration. I'm going to read the conditions for the benefit of anyone in the audience here tonight. We're suggesting that the approval would be subject to the following conditions. The maximum number of lots shall not exceed 5. The applicant shall cause to be formed a homeowners association to be responsible for the maintenance of Duke's Dune Road, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county, and best management practices shall be used in the maintenance of the system. The subdivision shall be provided sewer service as part of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District and public water by Sussex Shores Water Company. The applicant shall comply with all entrance improvements required by DLDOT. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. Pursuant to Sussex County Code Section 99-6H, the deed to Lot 1 shall contain the following disclosure. This site contains regulated wetlands. Activities within these wetlands may require a permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and or the State of Delaware. The final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And lastly, A 10-foot wide permanent natural buffer will be maintained along the southern boundary of the property from Route 1 to the western boundary of Lot 5 and along the northern boundary of the property adjacent to Lots 1, 2, and 3. And a 20-foot buffer will be maintained adjacent to Route 1 from Duke's Dune Road to the northern boundary of the property. Now, again, just that's what I explained before, that that buffer would run from Route 1 back to the front of this lot. It would run from Route, well, and here would be a 20-foot along Route 1, and then in front of these lots would be a 10-foot buffer that would run down to Lot 4. And subject to, if you deem it appropriate, as I said, that condition could be further expanded to provide that a portion of the right-of-way, 10 or 15 feet, could be additional undisturbed buffer area with the existing natural growth. With that, gentlemen, that would conclude our presentation, and we'll try to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fuqua, Mr. Clark. I just have a couple of questions for now. I'd be interested may defer some of my questions after I hear a presentation from, I believe you said Mr. Witzel may be representing an applicant, that you'd had some conversations with him about your proposal to modify the buffers as shown on that easel board to something different. So if you're willing, I may ask you a question after
sure.
Mr. Witzel gives his presentation. Insofar as the request, do you know what the timetable for this development, if it's acted on favorably, would be?
I think the intention is to move forward promptly.
Okay. I just mentioned that, noting one of the letters in the exhibit book from a Matthew Bailey, Delaware Division Fish and Wildlife, asked if the project takes longer than a year to get going, if he could request and revisit the site, and it appears as though the applicant was willing to go along and let him visit the site back a month or two ago, I believe.
Yeah, it was visited by Denrek, and there's a letter in the record is from Denrek.
Yes. And I guess a question perhaps for Mr. Robertson, this wetlands disclosure, is that something that we put in, or if we act favorably on this, and we're in essence creating a new lot with wetlands inside that lot line, is that disclosure used for?
That's in the code. If this was a cluster subdivision, you couldn't have wetlands in a lot, but it's a standard MR subdivision, so there's no prohibition against that. And that's been in the code for a long time, that if there's a lot that contains wetlands, that disclosure has to go in there.
Is there any type of safeguard or tagging of this disclosure, such as if a contractor came in, barring that if they don't fill it, and pulled a building permit to, say, improve that area with a ground-level deck or something of that nature, would someone know that perhaps their activities were encroaching into that wetland area and face a violation?
They would be on notice of the existence of wetlands from it being in their chain of title and their deed. I don't just, in the past, if there's been a lot where there's been wetlands, the commission's, required just to be marked on the site with, I think, different types of markers, more permanent than a survey stake, more of a...
I would mention in this case, because this is in the, ocean area, it would be subject to, federal regulations as far as the FEMA maps. So this home would be built on pilings, and under the federal flood insurance requirements, there can't be anything built on the ground level other than garages and some storage areas under a building with certain type of structured walls that are breakaway walls. So nothing could be permanently built on the ground there anyway. And we certainly would have no problem with indicating the parameters of the wetland area. Again, as Vince stated, in general, we try to avoid having wetlands within lot lines. This is just a situation where it can't be avoided, and the subdivision ordinance does specifically recognize that in situations it does occur, and this disclosure has to be given in those situations.
It's my recollection, too, and Lawrence, you're saying, if you want to chime in, that the avoidance of wetlands has been more on larger subdivisions where you can sort of design around them where you start with more acreage, and so you have a little bit more room to play with, you know, with open space and things like that, where they've been, you know, permitted, and smaller ones where there, you know, aren't the roadways or open spaces or things like that, where you can sort of design things to avoid the wetland, or avoid, yeah, avoid the wetlands with the deeds.
And right now this parcel is two lots, and that wetland already exists on one. So basically you're now just redesigning the configuration of the lots. It's basically still going to be on a lot if it's allowed to remain there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's all for now. I believe you usually, if memory serves me correctly, ask if there's anyone in opposition. You usually ask if there's an attorney representing a group. You ask for them to come forward first. So I'm going to let the other commissioners and staff ask questions at this point.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bigler. Mr. Ross?
I'm going to wait for the public comment, and then I may or may not have questions.
All right, then. Mr. Johnson?
Well, I appreciate the clarification about the wetlands, because I know that typically the commission frowns, or at least as far as I know, has not approved any subdivisions with wetlands within the lot lines, but as Mr. Lank pointed out, they already exist within the current lot, so got a little bit of a different situation, but I'm like Mr. Smith, I'm concerned about how they would be delineated and perhaps be preserved from being trampled on or whatever, because while the building might not be built on it, as we all know, people tend to go outside on the ground. But anyhow, I have no questions at this time.
Okay, Mr. Burton?
I have two quick ones, and then I'll wait for the comment. Mr. Clark, you mentioned that the crossover, DLDOT would have to realign Duke's Road, or what? I didn't know what you meant by
the
that.
Applicant, at the applicant's expense.
This existing crossover would have to be adjusted to align exactly with the street.
So you'd move it on to the medium strip, not actually the road here.
Correct.
Okay.
So it would be a little bit further north.
It's just a portion of it. It almost lines up. It just doesn't quite.
All right. I thought you were trying to move Duke's Road. So, okay. And then could you just review the gate that you talked about as far as access? Is that gate access for lots 4 and 5 to the beach?
Currently there is a fence on Mr. Rock's property. He's the owner of the lot on the south here. So currently there is a fence all the way, it's continuous all the way along Gum Road. And about in this area, I can turn the plan on.
Sorry.
About in this area right here, there is a gate in the fence. As Mr. Fuqua said, it's been there since the 60s for quite some time. And so that's the gate.
And the gate accesses onto
Gum Road.
Gum Road. So that's an agreement between the two properties.
From what Mr. Rocks told me, when the fence was put up, there was a gate put there, and it's always been used going back to the 60s. I don't know if there's an agreement, but it hasn't been objected to in over 40 years. These owners would acquire prescriptive rights. Only a court could declare that, but it's never been an issue. We recognize that the owners, or the Sussex Shores, doesn't want that use increased, and that's what we're saying, that there won't be an increase in it from the 3 additional lots, but the people that currently have the rights to use it, they would use it.
Because the gate is on Mr. Rock's property.
The gate is on Mr. Rock's side, okay. And the latch is on Mr. Rock's side, so it's his gate,
okay.
As far as in and out.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay, Mr. Lank?
Just make a note, we advertise this as also requesting a waiver in the forested buffer requirement, and it was a requirement would be at 20 foot, and now you're proposing that it be 10 foot on each side, front north and along Gum Road, just to clarify.
Yeah, as I said, the site plan I submitted showed none on the south side and 20 foot on the north side, but after seeing it in discussions with Mr. Witzel, we tried to flip it around and then also utilize the right of way for additional buffer.
And that maintains the minimum width requirement for the lots that are proposed in lots 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
what would be done would be if the 10-foot buffer was put here,
right.
It would move the 50-foot right-of-way over 10 feet. It would move the lots over 10 feet. and reduce the 20-foot buffer back here by 10 feet. So it would just be a 10-foot shift.
How deep would those lots be in depth from the proposed road?
Oh, 108 feet.
So just, yeah, about a minimum of 100. That's why I want to make sure.
The lots wouldn't be diminished in size.
No need for any variances?
No.
In relation to lot size? That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
None for me either. Thanks.
All right. Okay, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2013-3, Rocks Bethany LLC? Okay, there being none, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? And Mr. Witzel, step right up.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Robert Witzel. For the record, I have offices at 120 South Bedford Street in Georgetown and 410 Rehoboth Avenue in Rehoboth. Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of handouts that
okay.
I'm going to...
Sure.
Thanks, sir.
Yes,
please.
Gentlemen, I am here specifically representing Sussex Shores Beach Association. It's my pleasure to do so. I note that there are several individual property owners within Sussex Shores who are here tonight, and they may or may not agree with my representations. I have talked to several of them. Sitting behind me in the crowd is Hill Michaels, Craig Williams, Mark Deasty, and although I haven't spoken with Philip Dolan, he is someone who is also a resident along Gum Road, they may all have something to say that may differ from my representations. I've been authorized to make these representations on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Association, and as you well know, that association may have separate and distinct opinions from the individual property owners who live on Gum Road. Mr. Smith.
Would you be kind enough to move that other microphone up to capture your voice, please? Just so the people in the back can hear.
Thank you, sir.
So
with that in mind, I have spoken with Mr. Fuquay. I appreciate both his and Mr. Clark's attention and cooperation. We have two issues. The association has two issues with the application that I would like to briefly address this evening. And they are not too separately distinct from what Mr. Fuquay and Mr. Clark presented to you. However, I think we have a better idea. In addressing first the landscape buffer, on your handouts, and while you're looking at those photographs, I'm going to ask Marty Bond, who is a member of the Sussex Shores Association, and has been authorized to assist me and testify this evening concerning both of the issues of the vegetated buffer and the restricted access. Marty, if you come forward. Mr. Bond does not reside on Gum Road, but he resides within the subdivision. And Marty, you're familiar with Gum Road. You've walked it many times, and I'm going to ask you first to describe the first picture, which has the 15-mile-an-hour speed limit in it.
Hey, Robbie, you need to introduce yourself first for us.
My name's Martin Bond. I own property in Sussex Shores. I own Facet Road, which is one block over from Gum Road.
What's your address there, Marty?
The address there is the 911 number is 39748 Facet Road.
Thank you. The first picture depicts the northerly Gum Road property where Gum Road meets Surf Avenue. Is that correct?
Yes, that's Surf. Yeah, it's the corner we're looking at. So this is the heavily wooded area that currently has been allowed to develop over the course of time.
And the structure in the upper right-hand corner is the existing structure that's portrayed as lot number 5 on the plat?
Yes, it is lot number 5, correct.
The picket fence, boundary line?
That's essentially the boundary line. Gum Road is a very small right-of-way. It's only 15-foot right-of-way, and nearly all of it's paved.
And am I correct in understanding that the gate is approximately 15 feet down the road from the...
The gate is approximately in this area right here.
And it's... Not within lot 5
not
presently.
Not within lot 5. It is actually what is shown here is the common area here between
Goose Creek Road right away.
Turning to page 2 of the photographs, it shows the smaller split rail fence. This is the area that Mr. Fuquay described as jungle.
Yes.
It's very thickly vegetated. And the third picture shows the extent of that vegetation.
Growth.
Looking north, it's very thick, perhaps for approximately 85 to 100 feet until you get to the existing access road, which kind of splits the property down the middle. Then the same vegetation continues to the north. I just have a quick picture of the two existing residences.
Yes, so those are the two existing residences. The one to the left is on the north side, and the one on the right is the south.
Now, it's my understanding that the association understands that these existing structures could not possibly support a 20-foot vegetated buffer on each side, and so the association does not object to a waiver on
those
two
areas.
Lots.
That is correct.
And then finally, this is a photograph that I took, and it shows the width of the vegetated buffer on the south as it exists now, the jungle, so to speak. This is the access drive on the right-hand side of the picture, which
correct.
Splits the property. And beyond the fence that you can see on the left side, I'm referring to this photograph, gentlemen. Is the present boundary line.
That's correct.
Finally, a quick review of the Sussex Shores plat with Gum Road on the left-hand side of it on the north side. Gum Road's only 15 feet wide.
Gum Road is 15 feet wide from Route 1 all the way to the beach strand.
And although this tends to show that Gum Road has access to Route 1, there is no access.
There is currently no access. There was one time it was through. But as it's shown on the plat, it goes from Route 1 all the way to the beach strand.
And you have, Mr. Bond, do you have knowledge concerning the limited access that at least the owners of the oceanfront properties have had over the years? Do you know anything about that?
Well, basically, just talking to some folks who have been around for years, there's been essentially some informal agreement many, many years ago to allow that gate to be there. In my experience, I've been in the community since, I guess, for the last 30 years, and I've never seen any activity coming in and out of that gate. I don't live on that street, and we have some homeowners here who do and may be more familiar with that. But my concern and the association's concern is that with that access, you know, that was an informal arrangement for two properties, or maybe perhaps just the southernmost property. But this is changing that arrangement, and that gate is not located on a particular lot. It's actually shown as being located. Well, it's not actually shown. The gate is not shown on there, but where the gate currently is located actually shows up on the common area. Sussex Shores does not want any additional traffic coming into our community, whether it's on bicycles or on foot. Our preference would be that there would be a continuous buffer all along Gum Road. We do not want anyone coming into the community. We don't see how it can be restricted to just those two original properties or one of those original properties. If there is an access there, it's going to be all five properties coming through. So the association does not want any access. These are private roads, and there's no reason we need to grant such access.
Well, that's not just a good or bad neighborly issue, is it? It's a liability issue?
It's safety issues. These are private roads, and there will be great temptation to come in through that as opposed to going out onto Route 1. And that is one of the benefits that Sussex Shores has that, you know, none of the other communities do have, is we have access to the town of Bethany Beach on the south end of our community.
And there's actual bike lanes and designated pedestrian lanes on Route 1 between
that is correct.
Between the proposed subdivision
yes.
of Bethany.
The North Bethany, yes.
Thanks. That's all I have right this minute.
Okay.
Gentlemen, as I said earlier, we really appreciate the developer's concern and Mr. Fuquay and Mr. Clark's consideration of proposing a 10-foot buffer on the southern boundary adjacent to Gum Road. We believe that, and I discussed this with Mr. Clark, as one of the alternatives, that the best alternative is to just flip-flop that 20-foot vegetated buffer from the northern boundary to the southern boundary. for, we believe, very good reasons. The lot to the north, which is, to our best knowledge, and Mr. Clark's indication on the map, is owned by Elizabeth Snyder Revocable Trust. This parcel is only 75 feet wide, which in essence locks it into one single-family residential property. In order to do anything with that property, they would have to have access. It just seems undevelopable except for perhaps reconstruction of the existing property. It also is very heavily vegetated. And unless there are people here from the trust tonight who object to this swap of vegetated buffer, we believe that's the fairest and best method to provide this continuing jungle on the south side of the parcel. We understand that the Del Mar parcel is too narrow to have those two vegetated buffers, so this seems to be the only real logical way to preserve a 20-foot buffer and to satisfy my client's concerns. As Mr. Fuqua said, the alternative is to split this buffer into two 10-foot buffers. That would require a waiver on both sides. If you were to visit the site, or if you can see from the photographs, it really is a valuable buffer zone. It is densely vegetated. I'm going to decline Mr. Fuqua's invitation to talk about the Bethany firefly, but if it's there, it seems most reasonable that this is a very good habitat for it, and it would be best to preserve this area.
Wait, so are you testifying as an expert to the firefly?
No. I didn't bring one with me either.
I just want to clarify.
But if it's there, it would be happy.
Kind of creeping into that territory there. I just want to make sure.
It would be happy there. And that's all I'll say on that issue, Mr. Chairman. If the commission is inclined to split the buffer zone, which we ask you not to do, we would also ask you to accept Mr. Fuqua's invitation to, and I think it needs to be declared in a condition and be placed in the restrictive covenants for the subdivision, that portion of Dune Road, at least a 10-foot additional area on the southerly portion of the 50-foot right-of-way, be designated as a vegetated area. That would provide the full 20 feet that my clients are seeking. But that's kind of a mix of alternatives. I think it's much cleaner to swap the 20-foot right-of-way. I really didn't hear anything from Mr. Clark, and perhaps he can comment as to how that would detrimentally affect the plat. When you consider the fact that their access road is 25 feet, that the southerly boundary of the access road is 25 feet from the southerly boundary of the property, that's not realigning the actual paved access at all, and it wouldn't affect their lineup with Delta. So within that 25 feet from the boundary of the either pervious or impervious surface, I think they're trying to make it impervious, would be that 20-foot area. Now, our concern is that Mr. Izzo might not be really thrilled by that, because Mr. Izzo in the engineering department might not be thrilled by that condition of having 10 extra feet of his right-of-way be declared vegetative, but we would be happy with either of those conditions. And I think the third alternative is the least favorable to the association, and that is to have the 20-foot buffer remain where it is on the north, and have you as the commission determine that 20 feet of the existing 50-foot right-of-way remain vegetative. That's not really an alternative that we're pleased with at all. If I could turn just for a moment to the issue of restricted access. There is no easement of record. Mr. Fuqua may be correct in arguing that there might be an argument in the Court of Chancery that there is a restrictive easement for one property owner through the gate that's there. But the game is changing now. It is no longer a two-property subdivision.
Mr. Witzel, I'm going to...
This fence is in...
Yeah, I just want to share with you that I think that's going to be a discussion for another venue, really. I mean, it's not a...
Well, I don't know. I think access, that's site plan. I mean, I think we can address that. That's the same as interconnectivity,
But the issue is whether or not we can restrict something presumes that somebody has a right to something. Okay, and that's never been established. So, I mean, I'm not sure that which you do first. But I mean, okay. I mean, I'm willing to. I mean, so continue.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think, Mr. Chairman, that understanding the private nature of both communities, I don't think there's any reason for people from Sussex Shores to be needing to gain access to the 5-lot subdivision to the north. There is some concern that this would be an alternative and perhaps more pleasant path for the 5-property lot owners to get to downtown Bethany, to go out to dinner, whatever. It's not that we're not neighborly. We do have liability, and we have liability insurance. There's a fence all the way down with a gate. Strangely enough, that gate has a sign on it on the Sussex Shores side that says private, and the latch to the gate is on the lot 5 side.
Okay.
So it seems to be a one-way gate, and I don't know anything about it except for what I saw.
Understood.
So I think the easiest solution would be to put a condition on the approval that there be a continuous fence down the borderline.
Okay.
And that would appease my clients. If I may just look at my notes for 1 minute.
While you're looking at your notes, this gate is at the intersection of Surf Avenue and Gum Road, is that correct? Or approximately?
The gate is right across on your plat from the property of Craig and Elizabeth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not included in the lot 5. So although these folks... We don't disagree that there was a gate that people could go through before that was on this property pre-platted. It is no longer there, and the game has changed. Now it seems to be a fence for up to 5 property owners. If the commission is so concerned about it, if the developer wants to move the gate onto lot 5, I don't think my clients
would object to that. And now it wasn't that I had any particular concern about it. What I have a concern about is the commission overstepping its legal boundaries. That's right. Why I was asking the question. But
I don't think you would be on that, though.
Okay, very, very well.
Thank you. Just liability and safety issues are a concern.
And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't. I just think you can if you want.
Well, then that's really what I was asking. I wasn't saying either way. I just wanted to make sure it was something that really was in our purview, since easement may not necessarily be in writing, but there may be an easement. Somebody may decide that there is, but that somebody's going to be somebody other than us.
Well, I'm happy to argue that in the future with Mr. Fuquay at both of our clients' expenses.
Yes,
but if a small child were to go through there on a tricycle or on a bike, we would be very upset.
Absolutely. I get it.
You're aware that there's there's also a gate at the extreme south end of Surf Avenue and Fifth Street.
Yes, sir.
Bethany Beach, which I believe that gate swings both ways, that lets people from Sussex Shores out onto Fifth Street at Bethany Beach.
Yes, sir.
Am I correct? Okay.
Yeah.
And is it possible that your argument against access on this northbound gate could also be argument proffered by the residents of Fifth Street?
Of Bethany.
Possibly.
Yeah, that could come back to bite us, but that's another issue.
I don't know, but while you were consulting your notes, I thought of that. Thank you.
That is also the attraction, because the access can be gained that way, and that's why we're concerned about bicycles coming through.
Okay.
I think that addresses all of the association's concerns. I thank you for your attention and your understanding.
All right, sir. We thank you. Before we proceed with opposition. I would like the applicant to address Mr. Whistle's suggestions about the buffer. Is there some reason why the buffer can't be on the south side? Or
the only thing on the site design, if the 20 foot buffer was on the Gum Road side,
yeah,
in effect pushing the lots back to the property line.
Mm-hmm.
It would put all of the wetlands onto Lot 1, which would create, it would be additional wetlands on Route 1, mm-hmm. which could affect the buildable area. That's all. I can't tell from this, but I don't know how much it would affect it. The other thing is, if you move this over 20 feet, we're trying to line this road up with the existing median opening.
Okay.
All right? So if that road was pushed over 20 feet, it couldn't be lined up. Because it would be past where the median is. I think you can see from here, the median is right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to shave it back a bit where this road comes out. But if it was moved 20 feet, I'm not saying this as an exact fact, but it would appear to be maybe not possible to do that.
Okay.
Again, it's not.
All right.
It doesn't kill the project, but I mean, it's not the way it was designed.
Just asking.
I would say the 10-foot easement plus having the buffer in 10 feet of the right-of-way is certainly doable, and we certainly have no objection to that. That, in effect, would also create 20 feet of the existing growth as a buffer.
Okay. All right. Mr. Whistle, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to let you comment.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman. We've done the calculations, and it makes no difference. There's, as platted, if Mr. Clark's plat is correct, there's presently a 25-foot distance from the southern boundary line to the surface of the road. So that 20-foot easement that we're asking you to flip-flop would fit within that 25, right, leaving 5 feet to play with.
Okay. Well, now we've had two attorneys testify as engineers. Why don't we hear from the engineer and see what he thinks about this? Or landscape architect. Pardon me. Big difference, I understand.
I have to agree with Jim. If we move everything north, we have the two problems he's identified. The wetlands are now totally involved in lot.
I get that one. Tell me about the road.
Well, if we move the whole road north, we end up with some issues that I'm not sure, without doing some calculations, what happens to Lot 4, because that 20-foot easement on Lots 1, 2, and 3 is shorter than the length of the Dunes Road right-of-way. So there's going to be something happening there at that turnaround that I'm not sure of, but it slides everything north. We're not losing any lot areas here. This would all slide north. I just don't know what happens in this area, calculation wise. And the big concern that Jim pointed out here is now we're almost aligned here. Now we're really missing it out here. We have to really redevelop the whole median crossover for that.
I'm not an engineer or landscape designer, but couldn't the actual paved area of the road stay in the exact same place? And because right now it's 5 feet off the property line, wouldn't it just be 7 feet off the 20-foot buffer and then, I don't know, 15 feet off the property line? I mean,
No. And here's the problem.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, the problem is that shape that you see at the end, that is the turnaround, which is one of two or three options that the fire marshal's office gives you for something in excess of 300 feet. We just happen to be a couple of feet longer than 300 feet, or you wouldn't need that feature, but we do. And so the offset of the road serves a couple of purposes here, and it just would have it that to apply this dead-end configuration, it offsets it. So
you're okay until you get to the turnaround, but then you got that short area, that neck that sticks in, that would stick into the buffer.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Who's next? Who's next in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name, please. You may have the floor.
My name's Albert Michaels. I live in Baltimore, Maryland, but we own a lot that's 31870 Surf Road. I probably have more knowledge of Sussex Shores. I'm 74 years old. When I was 16, 1954, my father built our house. He bought the lot in 1953. Regarding the gate, The gate was an agreement, a friendly agreement between Ralph Rocks and my father, Phil Short, that there could be a gate there so they could, Ralph Rocks wanted to run his laps around there. The southern gate does not swing both ways, sir. It swings one way into Sussex Shores. It does not swing out. So it's on, and I'm 100% opposed to any gate, and we are not a police state. We have security, but there's no way in the world to say, well, lots 4 and 5 can use the gate, but the other lots can't. That's ridiculous. We want to have a friendly relationship. And we could actually, on our own property, Sussex Shores, just build our own fence, and there wouldn't be any question about a gate. So I'm opposed to any gate for those reasons.
That's an issue that you all are going to have to work out.
Well, they could just eliminate the gate from their plan.
Well, sir, you may have already granted, your father may have already granted an easement.
No, it was a friendly handshake. In those days, you did things that way. There was no legal agreement.
Well, we're not going to have that argument here, okay?
Here's the issue with that, though, is that, you know, and it is, it gets beyond. I think we can still deal with the site plan. The issue, though, would become whether there was a prescriptive easement from the use of it, but whether it was for 2 lots or 5 lots or whatever. I mean, you know, that's something that would have to be sorted out and changed.
Or one
but
lot.
I still think that, or one lot, but that.
Well, you have to agree. You can't police. You're going to have children, and you're going to have people there, and you can say, well, you all living in this house can go through this gate, but the people living in this other house can't. That's ridiculous.
I didn't say it made sense. I just said it might be legal.
Well, I'm also opposed to any waiver from the forested buffer requirement. That's the law. Why should the law be changed to grant a development? I've heard what they've said. But to keep the integrity of our Delaware shore north of Bethany, there's no reason to change it. All the other developments north of there have followed that rule since it came in. I think it was 2008. I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney. But I want to keep what we have, the greenery, and I think they should definitely have a 20-foot buffer there. And not every development between Bethany and the Indian River Inlet has a access from their entrance coming south on US 1. Sometimes you have to go past. So to get in there, they have to go down to the turnaround by the resort furnishing and come up. So there are reasons that they can't possibly have a 20-foot buffer on our side because they'd have to move the road up. You don't have to have an entrance there. So that's what I have to say about it. Glad to ask any questions. But I very clearly remember Mr. Rocks talking to my father, and it was just a handshake. And they've never abused that privilege.
Okay. Thank you. All right, who's next? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Mark Deasty. I live on Gum Road, my permanent home. I've lived there 11 years. And I walk Gum Road every day. I look at it every day.
Okay.
If you only allow 10 feet of buffer, you're going to eliminate some really nice trees. I mean, some of these trees are, I don't know how old they are. They've got to be 50, 60 years old, mm-hmm. 30 feet tall. It is very dense. It needs to be cleaned out, but there are some gorgeous trees. And if you only went 10 feet, you're only going to salvage maybe 2 or 3. If you go 20 feet, you're going to gain a lot more large trees, shade trees type thing, not just pines, but shade trees. Mm-hmm. So I think they ought to look at that to see. Second of all, I believe the crossover on Route 1 is directly across from Gum Road. I don't know whether that photograph shows it or not. I believe that the crossover on Route 1 is directly across from Gum Road. I don't know if this photograph shows it or not. Here's the crossover. Right, here's Gum Road. There's a crossover. So if you're going to try to line Duke's Road so you can cross over, you're going to be on Gum Road. You see what I'm saying? Here's Gum Road. There's a crossover straight ahead. Duke's Road is way up here. So if they're going to line Duke's Road, the new Duke's Road or the old Duke's Road for a crossover, they're going to be on Gum Road.
Well, I think what they're speaking of is realigning the crossover, not realigning the road. road. In other words, moved the crossover, widened the crossover to align up, I think is what they're referring to.
I didn't know that DelDOT would allow that. Because that crossover is constantly used for the Bethany Beach maintenance area. It's a very busy crossover.
You'd be amazed what they'll allow you to do with your money.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
So I'm sure if somebody's willing to pay, they can be very flexible.
Well, that's my concern, so I thank you for your time.
Yes, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
My name's Craig Williams. I live in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, and I own the property at 39734 Gum Road.
Okay.
The gateway you're speaking about is directly across from my property.
Okay.
And it is almost never used, so, you know, if there's more houses and more use, that could be a problem.
Okay.
Just my experience.
Okay.
The code is what the code is for a reason, and it's set up to protect everybody. And I don't know that you need to waive that code just to let them squeeze in the lots the way they want to squeeze them in. If they can get them in and abide by all the codes, fine. If they can't, then maybe the development has to be looked at a little differently.
Okay.
The gentleman who said that he didn't know that you needed to have a buffer since it just ran alongside a road, he might feel differently if he lived on that road and looked out at it every day. So I just leave you with that.
Okay.
But I would like to see the code enforced. I would like to make sure that we have whatever buffers are mandated in law enforced.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I don't know that we heard from Mr. Fuqua how much the issue the gate is. I mean, we heard all about the buffers. I mean, before we try to decide that or not, is it an issue or not? I mean, I know you presented it, but I don't know if you'd heard what Mr. Witzel had to say.
All I was trying to say was, and again, I don't know the history of it.
Yeah, right.
All right. It was not going to be extended to the new lots. In other words, if there's a right to use the gate to gain access, I just wanted to preserve that for those two lot owners. How could that be managed? You can put a lock on the gate with a key that only those two owners would have. You know, there's things to do. And again, I'm not saying it was a handshake. I'm not saying it's prescriptive. I don't know. All I know is there's a gate there that's been used in the past, and it's been used for a long time. It's not, we're not asking for anything more than exists, but on the other hand, I don't want to give up the rights that exist. That's all.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, just so the commission understands, I was looking at the code. I think the commission has the ability to sort of do all the above. You know, that would be to let, you know, I mean, there's nothing to stop Sussex Shores from putting up their own fence around the whole thing, I suppose, and that's on their property. They can do what they want. But
it's a problem.
As part of the commission's deliberations, I mean, they could say that there's got to be a point of access, whether it's allowed or not, on Sussex Shores completely. They could say there's no access from this new one on the Sussex Shores, or they could say it's just the two lots. I mean, under 99.9C, it talks about vehicular access, and under 99.16, it talks about, or excuse me, 17, now, the commission has the ability to provide the number and location of accesses to a subdivision. So I think the commission does have the ability to sort this out. You know,
I would suggest that saying the three lots that would be created would not be entitled to access to that is fair. And I would say that whatever other rights exist are between the parties. I would hope that the two owners, the applicants and the Sussex Shore people, could resolve that without the need for any litigation or anything else. But again, I don't know what their rights are. I'm not sure what our rights are, and that would be up to the parties to determine what to do with that. But
well,
that's really all I can say.
One could hope.
Yeah.
One could hope. All right, then. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain. Well, sure. Come on up. Before we close the public hearing, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Oh, here's one right here.
Hi. I'm Lindsay Harris, and okay. I'm Hill Michaels, who was addressing you before, his fiance of 28 years or something. Anyway, Mrs. Rock, I did all the gardening at Hill's house. I always have a hand in the dirt. Anyway, and so I was walking by because I planted all these rose bushes along what you all are talking about, you know, that road.
Okay.
And I was leaning down to pick some weeds, and this gate sort of went, and I said, oh, whoop, it was Mrs. Rocks coming out. And she came out, and she said, no, they said that I could use this. So, I mean, I don't know what that means other than I've never seen anyone else, and I'm outside all the time there. I've never seen anyone use that, ever, ever. So to say that it's a community, has community use, is totally ridiculous. Thank you. You're not going to ask me any questions, are you?
Not going to ask you a thing. All right, then. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on commission have any questions? There being none, now we will close the public hearing, and we will invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening and see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. I would ask if you are not going to remain, if you would leave quietly, because we have other business to attend to. So thank you.